You're listening to NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. Voters in the general election will be asked to weigh in on a proposed amendment to the state's constitution that would protect money set aside for transportation projects. The plan is sometimes referred to as the Transportation Funding Lockbox Amendment. I recently sat down with a proponent and an opponent of the concept. First, we'll hear from Todd Meisch, President and CEO of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, who supports the amendment.
Transportation funding is so vital to the Illinois economy, it really is worthy of a constitutional protection that says to taxpayers that if we are going to tax you for purposes of investing in our transportation infrastructure, that we're actually going to spend the money on that infrastructure. The problem has been, and it's been a bipartisan problem, is that about $6.8 billion has been taken from the road fund in recent history and spent on other purposes. The only way to protect transportation funding from the legislature is to have a constitutional guarantee, a lockbox, if you will, that funds that are intended for transportation infrastructure are actually spent on that.
Groups like the Civic Federation have looked at those diversions that have happened over the years, and they kind of make the case that if you consider that some of that money is going to, say, police who are patrolling the highways, or the Secretary of State's office that regulates, you know, driver's licenses and that sort of thing, that the diversions aren't quite that large. What are your thoughts about those costs, and do you still think that those costs should be able to be funded out of this money?
Yeah, we readily admit that of the $6.8 billion, a certain amount of that would have gone to those purposes, even with the Constitution Amendment in place. But it does demonstrate the magnitude of the amount of money that's going. This is not a small problem. The real instances we're focused on is, for instance, the fiscal year 15 state budget, where $500 million was transferred out of the road fund to pay other bills.
And why should this area of spending be kind of prioritized in the Constitution over other things like education? You know, comes to mind the lottery money supposed to go to education, but there's some argument as to whether that happens. Why should this get a specific protection? And what do you say to the folks that say that's only happening because two powerful lobbies of business and labor are coming together to push for this?
Well, let me go ahead and take the first, is that education is funded out of general revenues. There's not a specific education tax that is supposed to go there. The lottery is an issue, but it's a relatively small one compared when you look at the amount of money that goes into the road fund, the amount of money that is needed to take care of our infrastructure. But the second case really boils down to priorities. Education, very important, but it's general revenue. But what we're talking about with transportation, we fund it with user fees. People that pay the fee expect their monies to go to the dedicated purpose that government has promised to do so. And that investment is very, very important to the Illinois economy. You think about agriculture. What's the impact on a farmer that has to run twice as many trucks to get his crop out of the field because they've got a bridge that can only take half the weight that it normally should because it's not being maintained? The ability for Caterpillar to get their products that sell for millions of dollars, backed by millions of dollars of payroll, to the places that they need to go. Transportation in Illinois is so, so important to the Illinois economy. We believe it's worthy of this lockbox designation.
And then the other point that some of the folks who have opposed this bring up is, you know, why tie the hands of the legislature if there were an instance of something like a crisis, maybe a natural disaster or something like the economic collapse of 2008? You know, in an emergency situation, they may need the freedom to use this money. What do you say to that?
What we're saying is that the amendment does have some flexibility. It just says that it has to be used on transportation purposes. So even in your what we hope is a very unlikely scenario of a natural disaster is going to impact the infrastructure. So we would say that you could go ahead and use monies to go ahead and repair that infrastructure. But again, it's a dedicated purpose. The real problem we're trying to get here is that the General Assembly just in the 2015 budget used $500 million to do everything from paying the light bill to painting the Capitol. So this is a real issue. It's immediate. Taxpayers deserve protections, and government needs to keep their promises.
And then we've been looking a little bit into the question of how this amendment might affect DNR's license plate revenue stream. Of course, fees were increased on license plates to help DNR with some of its capital backlog. Some of that money is going to roads, but it's also going elsewhere. The agency says it's waiting until after the election to figure out how this would impact their budget. And a couple of the state senators we talked to, including Toy Hutchinson, who sponsored that DNR legislation say that they're a little concerned, but they both voted for it. What are your thoughts on this issue, and where do you see that falling down as far as whether that money could still be spent on general capital in DNR's budget?
Sure. I haven't seen a dollar-by-dollar breakdown, but generally speaking, we think that this potential issue has been overblown in some quarters, in that, yes, there are some license plate fees that are dedicated to Department of Natural Resources, and I'd point out that an awful lot of people that never step foot in a state park are paying in and subsidizing the DNR, but that's okay. The General Assembly decided to do that. We're supportive of state parks, important for tourism, but we think that the scope of the problem is really pretty small because of the dollars that come in from that license plates. They go to maintain the roads, the trails, the traffic safety, the conservation police that are out there on the roads as well. So we think that, you know, we're not going to say it's not an issue to discuss, but we think the scope of the problem is really very limited, and the General Assembly has an opportunity to address that limited problem as they do enacting legislation that would implement aspects of the amendment.
So most Illinois voters have gotten that handy pamphlet, you know, explaining the pros and cons as they head into the voters' booth to try to make a decision on this amendment. Anything you would add to that, or what's just sort of your elevator pitch for voters on this issue?
Yeah, the important thing is, and why we're out there so aggressively to educate voters ahead of time, is that the language, frankly, that you'll see on the ballot is a little confusing. It doesn't talk about lockbox. It lists a whole bunch of things that you can use dollars for. And if you don't know what it is ahead of time, you might be a little confused. So that's what people should know, that this is the lockbox concept. It's going to be the very first thing on the ballot that voters will vote for. This will appear above the presidential race. So the very first question, we think people should vote yes, should be very comfortable that this puts us in the mainstream of national thought and protects taxpayers and holds government accountable.
You're listening to NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. We will now hear from Chicago Democratic Representative Barbara Flynn Curry. She opposes a plan to add protection for transportation funding to the state's constitution.
This proposed amendment got a lot of support in the General Assembly, but you
it
were
did.
One of a few people who voted against it. Can you tell me just the basics as to why?
Sure. First of all, I think constitutions are for establishing the way we run government and establishing basic principles. They aren't about saying we're going to spend $2.95 on pencils and $5.42 on sugar cookies for the children. They really are about setting the broad parameters and then asking the legislature and the governor to fill in the blanks. That's, I think, the reason that our federal constitution has worked as well as it has, and I think the 1970 Illinois Constitution did a good job of making sure that there was flexibility to deal with problems as problems arise, to make sure the legislature knew that the general direction is A, B, and C, but didn't prescribe individual steps to get from A to C. The old Illinois Constitution was filled with all manner of very clear prohibitions and prescriptions. For example, it was very difficult for local governments to raise enough money to do the job. So what we ended up with was a situation where the governors, I don't mean just the governor, but the assemblies and the governors created a lot of brand new units of government so as to get around the kinds of caps that really made it impossible to respond to important problems. So the 1970 Constitution was a major step forward. I just think that the road amendment is to say that we're going to spend this money this way through all time is not the right way to run a railroad, not the right way to run roads, not the right way to run bridges. I would like flexibility to be able to decide what are our priorities at any given moment. And most states that have language like that proposed for Illinois have safety valves. So if there is some kind of an emergency, the legislature and the governor, by extraordinary majorities, are able to say, well, we're going to set aside this prescription because we have another priority that today is even more important. What's the value in having a road built to a school that got demolished in a tornado and you don't have the resources to rebuild the school? So I think flexibility is a very important principle, and I don't think that we should adopt this amendment any more than we should adopt amendments that say, this is how much we'll spend on Medicaid, this is how much we'll spend on mental health, this is how much we'll spend on higher education.
What do you say to the folks who look at these fund sweeps that, you know, have been happening over the years, especially the recent sweep to patch the FY15 budget, and make the argument that while taxpayers think that this money is going to a specific area of spending and then it doesn't?
Well, it's happened over time. This is not the first time we have seen that happen. And I guess I would say that it may be a mistake to say to the voters, oh, this is where this particular dollar of yours is going to go. If you remember, there used not to be a lottery, and when there was a lottery, this was established before I was in the General Assembly, the argument was, well, let's have a lottery to pay for education. Well, people are still asking me the question, why is the lottery money not going for public education? Well, the reality is that it is, but we're spending a lot more on public education today than we did in 1975 when the lottery was first established. So in a way, I think we do a disservice to our voters when we say to them, oh, yeah, you should be for this because we're going to spend the money on A, B, and C. We ought to rely more generally on general revenues rather than specific ones. And when it comes to fund sweeps, I guess I would say that we only sweep monies that we know is not going to be used in the immediate future. And generally speaking, the needs that that money is intended for are met down the line. I don't know why we should say that roads and bridges are a higher priority for Illinois state spending than is public education, than is mental health, than is all the other items that we fund in a state budget in any given year.
There's definitely some concern in Illinois and across the country that we're not making the long-term investments in infrastructure that we should be in Illinois.
I totally agree with that, and I certainly support more funding for infrastructure, including roads and bridges. But I don't think we should enshrine today's problem in tomorrow's Constitution. What that means is the legislature and the governor should step up to the plate and decide that we need, first of all, we know we need more revenues for roads and bridges. The gas tax hasn't been increased in years, and we're falling far behind in terms of its ability to do the job. So I think this amendment becomes really an excuse to say to people afterwards, oh yeah, now we're going to raise taxes for A, B, and C. And I just don't think that's the right way to run this railroad.
And then the other, argument that proponents are making and is probably going to get through to a lot of folks is that this will somehow create jobs or stimulate the economy in Illinois.
We ought to be funding the road program, no question about it. But that doesn't mean we need to have a constitutional amendment that ties our hands, never mind what emergencies may befall the state. Of course we should do that, but the right way to do it is to make sure the legislature and the governor step up to the plate.
If the polling, you know, is on point with this, it seems like there's a good chance this will pass in the election.
I think it's very likely that people who are for this amendment are spending millions in order to be able to make the case, and there is no organized opposition. If I were concerned about public education, as I am, mental health, other social service programs, I myself would be a little concerned about this amendment because I think it does say roads are a bigger, higher priority.
One of the things in reporting on this that we've kind of stumbled across is that there's also some concern about whether money for, say, specialty license plates can be spent on those causes or whether the DNR license plate fees will be able to continue to go to DNR after this. Any thoughts or any concerns on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, well, I would be concerned about that. Also, there's always been an issue about, oh, well, you're using road fund money to pay for some of the people who patrol the road. Seems to me that that's what you need, people patrolling the road. And it seems to me that's a very legitimate use of road fund money, but it's always been a contentious issue. Why should we be paying for the Secretary of State Police or the state police to keep the road safe? Seems to me totally connected, but not everybody agrees with that. So I do have concerns along those lines as well.